I have heard that for many patients, the word hospice is dreaded because they feel that they're giving up the fight to survive, and they are succumbing to death. But for devotees who understand that they are not the body, but they are the soul within the body, and as stated in the Gita, nanyate anyamane sarire, that when the body dies, the soul does not die. For them, death takes on a different meaning. And consequently, hospice takes on a different meaning. As Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yam yam bhavi smaram bhava, that in whatever state one leaves the body, one attains to that position. And if one leaves the body thinking of Krishna, then he will go to Krishna. And that is our goal, the goal of life, and it's the goal in hospice care. Of course, remembering Krishna at the time of death may not be so easy, but we practice. In fact, there's a verse that says, whatever sadhana bhajan you've done, very good, but it will all be tested at the time of death. So we practice remembering Krishna now, so ultimately we can remember him at the time of death. And it is like the final exam in a regular course. One gets attends classes, one does assignments, one takes pop quizzes, midterms, but ultimately you have to pass the final exam in order to graduate. So for us, passing the final exam means remembering Krishna at the time of death, and graduating means not having to come back into the material world. Sometimes people raise the question of overpopulation. And Srila Prabhupada said the reason there's overpopulation is because people are supposed to be graduating, passing out of the school, but too many of them are flunking. They have to come back and repeat. So there's overpopulation. So, it was mentioned briefly in the video about my disciple Archavigraha Devi Dasi, and she was really the inspiration behind the hospice. She was a renowned artist in South Africa, and so she met devotees and became very serious about Krishna consciousness, and she thought to combine her artwork with her spiritual life. So she came to Vrindavan, and she bought some land. It was a very remarkable thing to do at that time. She bought some land and built a house on it. And she kept kept the ground floor for herself and, you know, whatever she needed to live, and a studio for her artwork. And she was kind enough to build another floor upstairs for me, for when I would visit. And she was diagnosed with cancer. She was given 6 months to live. Although in the end, she lived for 3 years. And she really loved Vrindavan. And devotees would come and spend time with her. Many senior devotees would spend time in Vrindavan then. And one thing we used to do, of course, kirtan, we would, you know, we'd always do kirtan. But one thing we used to do is read dramas. Well, specifically, Vidagdha Madhava and Balika Madhava by Sri Rupa Goswami. And different ones of us would take different parts in the dramatic reading. So, Tamal Krishna Goswami, Shiva Ram Swami, Govinda Maharaj, who lived next door, yeah, they would come and they would take part in these readings. And she wanted that others should have the same opportunity that she had to leave her body in Vrindavan. And it was practically her dying wish that we should make. She didn't use the term hospice. She called it a back to Godhead clinic. So she wanted that we should make a back to Godhead clinic so people can have the same opportunity she had to leave their bodies in Vrindavan. But when she left, the medical care in Vrindavan was very poor, very meager. Yeah, once she needed an IV, and there was no local person even to do her IV, but fortunately, Tamal Krishna Goswami's disciple, Kirtita Devi Dasi, was a nurse. She was in Vrindavan at that time, so she did the IV for Mother Arjuna. But she made that request, and so we fulfilled it, you know, with the help of many devotees. Ms. Agnes Radhanath Swami and devotees from Bhaktivedanta Hospital helped a lot and still are helping a lot. But another thing about hospice care, which was also mentioned in the video, is that a lot of it is administered at home. And Sangeeta Devi Dasi, who was in the video and who wrote a book called The Final Journey. So she has formed an organization called Vaishnava's Care. And the idea of Vaishnava's Care is to provide hospice care to people wherever they are, primarily in North America, because she's in North America. But in principle, anywhere and everywhere. She requested, although it hasn't been implemented so much, but she requested that every temple should have a room set aside for devotees leaving their bodies. doesn't have to be dedicated exclusively for that purpose, but it should be there when the need arises. And she has Vaishnava's care team. She came here to Houston when one of the devotees was leaving her body and helped a lot. And she established a Vaishnava's care team here in Houston to minister to devotees who are leaving their bodies. But fortunately or unfortunately, there aren't that many leaving their bodies here. But the team expanded their portfolio to include visiting devotees who are sick in the hospital or providing prasad to sick devotees and, helping in different ways like that. So it's really quite an enlivening service. There is one nurse who came from Bhaktivedanta Hospital in Mumbai to Bhaktivedanta Hospice in Vrindavan, and she couldn't adjust. She wanted to see the patients get better. And here all the patients were dying. And she just found it very discouraging. She went back. But for many of us, it's quite encouraging to help someone, leave their body in Krishna consciousness with the hope or the expectation that they won't have to come back and can take breath in the material world and go back home back to Godhead. I have met many, well, not many, but some people who have appreciated that being with someone leaving the body is a very sacred time. I'm friends with a Jewish rabbi in Santa Barbara, and once we were speaking, and he said, "This might surprise you, but I find that when I go to minister to dying congregants, I enter a very sacred space." And so it's a very deep and meaningful experience. And I said, "I'm not surprised to hear that. I also have the same experience." But to administer care, as they say, you have to care for the caregivers. To administer care in the spiritual life, especially, we should be strong spiritually. And especially by chanting the holy names for initiated devotees. And I see a lot of initiated devotees here, and maybe there are some of you on the way. We have our chanting beads, and we chant minimum 16 rounds, as far as possible. That should be done early in the morning, at stretch, with other serious chanters, as Tulsi Devi, front of the deities. And that's like our spiritual nourishment that gives us spiritual strength. And you need that spiritual strength to care for others and to be resilient. Now, one element of hospice care which was not mentioned specifically in the video is called respite care. R-E-S-P-I-T-E. And in respite care, patient who is living at home and being cared for by family members and loved ones at home comes to the hospice facility for a week or two to give a break to the family members who've been caring for the person at home, so they also, you know, can take care of themselves. So that's another category of hospice care. But it's really wonderful. I've read little bits here and there about death and dying, about hospice care, and there was a study, I think, performed by a couple of doctors in Massachusetts. But anyway. So there are a lot of doctors who don't like to talk about death with their patients. It's a very touchy subject, and they don't want to bring it up. And maybe from their side, they don't want to admit that they can't cure the patient. And maybe they don't know how to bring it up to the patient or the patient's loved ones. But this study found that, ironically, patients who speak openly about death, terminal patients who speak openly about death, live longer than the ones who don't get the chance to speak about it. That's sort of just all swept under the rug or whatever. So if we can, and again, the patients are of different degrees of spiritual development, but if we can speak about death, it would be good. There was a documentary film that showed in Santa Barbara, just coincidentally, around the corner from my chiropractor, and coincidentally the film showed, you know, like right after my chiropractor's appointment. And the film was called The Nurse with the Purple Hair. And it came about in an unusual way that the man who made the film, I think Sean Cunningham, he's a Hollywood filmmaker who specialized in horror films. And there was some conference and a convention. He was there. And somehow the nurse with the purple hair, although it's not really purple, but somehow she was assigned to assist him. So he asked her, what do you do for your work? So she said, I'm a hospice nurse. Do you have a problem with that? No, I don't have a problem with that. And he actually took a liking to her, and he decided to make a documentary film about her and about hospice care in general. And so, we went to that film show. From the chiropractor's office, and Sean Cunningham, the producer, director, and the Soto, I forget her first name, the nurse, they were there in person. And there was terminal patients. And then, and after the film show, I met her and the producer in the lobby, showed her the book. I signed up and told her about the hospice and the doctor. And yeah, she was very happy about it. So yeah, it's a very rewarding and very encouraging feel if you have the stomach for it. Hare Krishna. So, do any of you have any comments or questions? Oh, Ali today. I saw you in the movie. Oh, yes. Hare Krishna.
Many times in the hospitals, we are faced with a situation where a person is dying, and there are several physicians on the case, and everything is pointing towards essentially futile medical care. And essentially, no one is willing to bring, from a physician perspective, this whole topic of let the patient go. You know, like, it's time, let us all stop whatever we're doing because it's futile care. And from personal experience, because I'm a surgeon, I'm a consultant, and I'm not the person in charge of the whole care of the patient, and many times there'll be three or four extra physicians who are much senior to me in status and different specialties, and many times I'll refuse to do a procedure on them, or I'll say, you know what, it's time to just let the patient go, but it is met with a lot of negative energy. Oh, you know, the family wants everything done, even though the patient is not willing to, even though the patient cannot make the decision. So my question to you is, from a Krishna conscious standpoint, how aggressive can we get in letting the patient go? Because we know from a all medical perspective, the patient's time is up, and four people are against you, and you're one against four in the system, and then you have this whole gamut of family members who want everything done. So I just thought, what would your thoughts be, Maharaj, if you can share some light on that?
My first thought is, what are we going to do for the consciousness of the patient? I mean, okay, the patient is going to die, and there's not much point in medical interventions. It's just a waste of time and energy and money. But that's sort of negative. But what are we going to do in a positive way? Now, I don't know how many people can understand what I'm going to say, but the real thing is to help the person remember God at the time of death. And this is a principle that goes beyond the Vedic tradition. It's in every tradition. I would preach in Pakistan, and while I was there, I came across a book called The 99 Names of Allah, like in the Hindu tradition, it's 1,000 Names of Vishnu. And in the book, The 99 Names of Allah, it was written that the best thing that the, you know, family members and loved one can do for someone who's leaving the body is to chant the names of God. You know, encourage the person to chant, but at the very end, they can't chant. But at least chant for them so they can hear it. So if we can add this, I mean, you know, I don't know if it's against the rules to discuss spiritual or religious topics, but that's what I would say. You know, what do you believe is the goal of the person who's leaving the body? What's the best destination that the soul can reach after leaving the body? And what can we do to facilitate that? And it should come to chanting God's name in whatever tradition it is. Yes, Hari Baba Prabhu.
And next, my offense all goes to Gurudev Prabhupada. Regarding Prabhu's question is very valid and is often encountered. The real solution for this problem is people meet once a year with the family on Thanksgiving Day. What they do is they eat and drink, watch the football game or whatever game, but nobody sits around and talks about the problems, especially the problems of the elderly. And they do not, they have to discuss and find, decide this kind of problems. Before people get sick, they have to, the families have to decide, or the person who is elderly, if something happens to me, I want it to be taken care of this way. Or I want everything done, or I don't want anything done, I don't want to suffer too much, let me go. And there's a form that they can certify, you know, there's the documents to, he can sign, the person can sign, so that the decision would have been made ahead of time before they get into this problem. So this is what should be done in every family. Unfortunately, there is no leadership in the country, even in administrative leaderships. They do not stress this problem. And so the millions of dollars are wasted in your case of Pitalkar. I see it every day. And of course, what we have to do, even in that situation, I think we have to come down from our high state and come down, talk to the family very gently. This is the situation. You all have to discuss and make a decision so that it's not only prolonging life but also prolonging suffering for him. And as Maharaj has said, and make the environment God conscious. So I always tell them the people are assembled there. They sometimes they don't even talk to the patient, or they don't even look at the patient. They're either watching TV or chit chatting among themselves. So in that situation, what I tell them is put a music, you know, a spiritual music, so that at least the patient can listen to that. So these are the things we can do, but I think the problem is a big problem, and this has to be addressed by the leaders of the country and leaders of the society, and even the individual families have to make this decision. Hare Krishna.
Like Santa Barbara, he had the second hospice in the country, and there's a network of different organizations who engage in end-of-life care. And so they always emphasize this document, I think it's called the Five Wishes, in which well in advance, or as long as possible, people express their wishes, what they want at the end, so the family members are in an awkward position.